All right, if you could be making your way back to your seats. Unless you're an introvert, in which case you stayed there, right? Can I hear it for the introverts? There we go. Most people don't believe this. They're shocked to hear it when my wife shares it, but I am an introvert. I am not an extrovert. I am not a social butterfly. That's my wife. And the way I define introvert is not whether or not I am socially able to speak with people, but whether or not when I am exhausted and tired, I throw a party or read a book. I read a book. I don't throw a party when I'm tired. So that makes me an introvert. I can commiserate with you today. We are in the midst of a series called Tune Up, and we're going through our spiritual tune up. And I want to first of all review a little bit about what we've been talking about in this sermon series. So if you kind of put your thinking caps back on, we're going to go all the way back a couple of sermons to what we talked about the very first sermon in the Tune Up series about changing your filters. Anybody remember what those filters were? One of them. Holler it out. What you choose to look at. And we call that process, because once it gets in the brain, you process what's in the brain over and over and over and over again. It can come through the eye gate, the media that you watch. What kind of things do you put into your brain? Because that's what will be circulating through that circulator pump of your head and your heart. And it'll keep going back and forth and back and forth. It could be what somebody has told you negatively. They could have told you that you're not all that bright. You'll never amount to much. You're not that great of a person. And all those lies from Satan will be circulating around your head and coloring every relationship you ever have. So that is a filter you want to make sure you put in place, that process filter that filters out that filth in your life. What other filter did we talk about? Prayer. Prayer filter. And instead of worrying, you pray with thanksgiving, right? So that you take every thought captive, and then you take all of your concerns and anxieties and you cast them upon Him. So that instead of worrying, you present your request to God with thanksgiving. And then you filter out worry, because you know that the God of the universe, the God that loves you more than you love yourself, the God that is all powerful, will either keep the bad things from happening to you or will give you strength to get through it or a way of escape from it. That's what His word says. So if He allows it to happen, He's got a plan through it and He'll carry you through. So you don't have to worry if you put your prayer filter in place. What other filter do we talk about? Practice. Well done, Nina. Practice. Practice filters out guilt, right? Paul says to put into practice what I have told you and what you have seen me live out. Do it. If you don't do what you hear every Sunday, you'll leave every Sunday feeling guiltier and guiltier and browbeaten and worse. If you put it into practice, there won't be guilt in your life. You will be guilt-free. You will be worry-free and you will be filth-free. The wonderful filters that you need to make sure that are in place in your spiritual life. Then we talked about the oil change. And what did the oil change stand for? This was just last week. Forgiveness. Right? Because when that oil is circulating around in an engine, it gets all that gunk and all that carbon and all that buildup, and it moves some excess heat away from the engine. It lubricates all the hundreds of parts so that they can function appropriately and properly. But as that oil over time collects debris, if you don't change that oil, you will destroy your engine. And the same thing's true in life, even in church, full of godly Christian people. The parts are going to kind of bump and there's going to be some debris left. And if you're not willing to forgive, if you're not willing to give that grace to others, you will not be receiving that grace yourself. In fact, we learned that it's eternally essential that if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Comes right after the Lord's Prayer. We learned that it's for the purpose of being relationally redemptive, right? So God says that if your brother sins against you, go in private, just you, and confront them. Rebuke them, it says. And if they repent, then you forgive them. And there is a health to that relationship that's been restored. If you just try to ignore it and ignore them, over time, the number of people you're ignoring gets to where you can't come to church. So you need to be relationally redemptive in your forgiveness. And then we need to be doing this because this is the way our Father is. We talked about the fatherly figure. You might remember the Rodney Atkins music video about the son who is watching the father and wants to be just like him when he grows up. So we need to change our filters. We need to change the oil. We also need to change our tires. If your minivan or your vehicle is looking like mine, it's in bad need of new tires. And the reason for that is what? They get worn down. What was that? I drive a vehicle. And what happens as I drive the vehicle? It gets worn. It gets worn out and you lose that grip. You lose that traction. And when now that's fine as long as you're on a smooth, straight, easy, dry road. But as soon as the road has a little rainfall on it, or as soon as the road gets a little bit rough, if you don't have traction, what's going to happen? You're going to have an accident. Your life is going to go straight in the ditch. And so today I want to talk to you about how do we get a grip on our life? How do we get that traction in our life? Because if we're not tuned up, if we don't change the tires on a regular basis, then we're going to lose traction, lose grip. You hit that curve too fast, you hit a wet spot or a sandy spot, you're going in the ditch, and your life does not want to be in the ditch. You can have all the power you want in your engine. You could have changed the tires. It could be running beautifully with great efficiency because you changed the filters. But if you don't have any good tires on that vehicle, you're just asking, in fact, begging for a tragic event in your life. And you won't be able to handle the rough stretches in the road that's ahead. So what is this tire motif spiritually? What is it that you need to make sure you have in your life so that you have grip and traction in your daily experience with God? It's very simple, and I want to kind of get into this by an old-fashioned thing I did when I was a kid growing up. We've done this a couple times here. Sally Mossman retired and moved to Tennessee, and she's no longer here to win every time, so you all have a chance. I want to review for you briefly the rules of a sword drill. First, you got to have a sword, not a dagger, not one of those just the little New Testament and Psalms. You got to have a sword because some of them are going to come from the Old Testament, right? You grab it from the back. Now, if you're using electronic devices, i.e. an iPhone or an iPad, then your app, your Bible app, has to be closed beforehand, okay? So for us old school analog people, you got a Bible by the heart, by the binding. You lift it up here, okay? It's got to be above the shoulder. Then I'll call out the scripture reference twice. You don't get to bring it down yet, okay? I'll call out the scripture reference twice, and then I'll say charge. When I say charge, then you try to look it up. As soon as you've got the Bible book, the chapter, and the verse, you stand and start reading. The first one who's reading the correct verse will win. Okay, so you don't get to just open it up and go, yeah, Jesus wept. It might not be the right one, right? So now, just to review, if you got an iPad or an iPhone with your Bible app on it, you have to close that app each time. Okay, none of this, I got the app open, so, book, chapter, verse. Okay, none of that. Okay, you ready? Draw swords. The first passage you'll be looking up is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6, charge. Amen. What a great verse. Go analog. We got one for analog. Okay, Isaiah 9, 6. The next one, we'll draw swords. Draw swords by the binding. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter, now make sure if you're digital, you turn the app back off again, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Charge. There you go. We got one for digital, although our analog was right behind, just a hair second. So we got one for digital, one for analog. The third one, draw swords. Draw swords. John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, 35, charge. Amen. We got two. You know, see, he lost the last time by half a second, so he was really on it that time. So we got two for analog, one for digital. I'll just let it be known that the runner-up was also analog. So you iPadders, you need to get going. Okay, draw swords. We're halfway through. Psalm 118, 22. So that's Psalm chapter 118, verse 22. Charge. Just right there in the middle.
The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone.
The chief cornerstone. Analog is running away with it. Okay, draw swords. We've only got two left. Two left. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. Matthew 2, 6. Charge. That's a beautiful sight. You see all those Bibles go. The governor, Jesus Christ, shall be a governor. We got a twofer. Tim is a twofer. You can call him two for ten. Let's see if we can call him three for. That sounds a lot like reefer, though. We should probably not do that. Last one, your last chance now, okay? Draw swords. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Charge. Woohoo! High priest! High priest! We only had one digital. Shelby, you were right there. You just hesitated reading. That was one of those where you see it when you're sitting down and you know exactly where it is and you stand up and you lose it and you're going, yeah, that's what happened. Okay, so everybody who won one of those drills, if you could stand up, I have a little prize for you. Two each. And you get four, right? One, two, three, four, right? I think that's right. Okay, everybody give a round of applause for our winners today. And what you might ask, did our wonderful participants win today? They won a self-stamped and all, not addressed, a stamped postcard to invite your friends and family next week to Friends and Family Day, right? How much better does it get than that? It's the gift that keeps on giving. So don't forget, everybody. Three invites this coming week. So I think you picked up on it, that the tires that give you the traction in your spiritual life is nothing other than the Word.